And this is some this is a little bit more than that was in the theatrical cut.
Yeah, right, it's sort of like what he did in the episode section. One. You sort of get
a little bit
more.
This was not in the theaters. This moment right here.
That part is
him beginning to cry. After.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now this is what I get. This is what I guess funerals are.
Yeah, you have to have the scene where they bury the body and all that. Yeah. I mean,
but I guess this is what funerals are like in the Star Wars universe. So I guess I'll buy it.
Yeah, I mean it
seems
it more or less works for
farmer's funeral. You know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean,
like a poor man's funeral, like that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and then I'm so disappointed that this piece of scoring is not on the soundtrack.
Well, they didn't do like the Ultimate Edition like they did.
And
they're
probably
one.
Not going to, which is the bigger controversy surrounding the score. Is that
we'll get into the reasons as to why that.
Yeah,
would be the
it's more obvious. It's more obvious in like the
it's
third.
It's more
act.
Obvious once you
once we get into the third act.
Like, yeah,
the third act, the real six, if you will. That's more obvious, but
actually, probably real five and six.
Real five, yeah.
But
goodness,
it's that long.
This scoring, the scoring right here is just heartbreaking. And I mean,
up until this point, we've heard like 9 minutes of absolutely brilliant John Williams scoring. I mean, this is. It's still not necessarily my favorite score of the series at this point. I mean, that's Empire Strikes Back, followed by Episode One.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, this is just some...
this is
a nice little gag
exchange
joke here. Does that name mean anything to you? It's sort of a little throwback to Episode Four.
That's a reference to Episode Four right there. Anakin, or Obi-Wan Kenobi on the little tiny hologram. Well, maybe just as far as I'm concerned. But.
I don't know if this
is cool though. Not knowing what happened to him, you know, it's like it was neat seeing it in the trailer anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger. Really? You think?
No shit, Sherlock.
I guess she's just really important. I wasn't.
Well, I mean, if you really think that,
I'm not complaining.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I mean, I didn't know whether we wanted to necessarily touch on this here.
I mean, she's
not
a queen anymore.
Well, the thing is, though, it's like, think about it. I mean, why is it that after she leaves Naboo, there are no more threats on her life? I mean, you know, why don't they just go after her on Naboo? I mean,
mm-hmm.
The bottom line is, it's basically just a smokescreen.
Mm-hmm.
The whole point is for... I mean, the whole point is, I mean, we know, let's put it this way, if you don't figure out that Chancellor Palpatine is the Emperor,
mm-hmm.
well, there's something wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not making enough.
You're not.
The whole point of it is, I mean, just to send this, to send the Republic into war.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and so the assassination... is not necessarily the point.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the point of it. The point is, it's a distraction.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically a distraction to, you know, get Amidala out of the way because she was an opponent of creating an army
mm-hmm.
and get somebody who isn't necessarily likely to oppose it as much, hence Mr. Binks here.
You timed that beautifully, by the way.
And I had this no idea I was going to time it that well, but anyway. This is a nice little
this
scene.
Is a great scene. This is cool. This is a pivotal.
Ewan McGregor and Christopher Lee.
Together, finally, at last. I mean, if you're not going to have James Earl Jones' voice in the Star Wars
Christopher
movie,
Lee, a close set.
Right, yeah.
Right. I mean, he's just got one of those voices. I mean, yeah.
I mean, you know, he's not even trying hard.
He's not breaking a sweat. Come on,
you know, because his voice is
breaking a sweat, man. This is down for him at this point.
And
I mean, you know, and I mean, I can't remember whether it was the Lord of the Rings cast commentary. I think where he mentioned that it's like he's worked with three directors that he just absolutely had complete respect for. One was Peter Jackson, the other was Tim Burton. In Sleepy Hollow.
Mm-hmm.
The third one was George Lucas. And, you know, just the audacity of their visions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you can tell that he really is actually kind of honored to be in this.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I've always thought, and I probably still will always think, that he is a much more interesting villain than he is as Saruman.
Well, in Saruman, we're not necessarily... I guess...
I think he's more compelling in this role. I think he's just more compelling.
No. I mean, I've read the entire trilogy, so, I mean, I know...
You know where...
The deal. I know where Saruman goes.
Right.
But, and I don't know, I guess I can kind of see that. But, I don't know. I mean, Saruman... On the written page is obviously one of the inspirations for this character.
Yeah.
I mean, Lord of the Rings was a huge inspiration, undoubtedly, to Lucas in making these. I mean, you know, there were other inspirations. I mean, Flash Gordon, you know, going back to the original trilogy, Saturday morning serials, Akira Kurosawa films, a lot of them inspired this. I mean, you know, just basic mythology.
Maybe difficult
you know.
To secure this. Yeah. Goodness. I mean, thank you, Mr. Lee.
Yeah. You rolled it.
Mr. Binks.
Mr.
Binks goes to Curacao.
Oh, man.
Think about it, if Mr. Smith goes to Washington instead of James Stewart. Yeah, Jar Jar Binks. Well, first of all, probably wouldn't have been as good of a movie.
You know what? But I don't think Jar Jar Binks is filibusting on purpose.
He is most decidedly got the floor. It's like this is the only applause he will ever receive, because 99% of the people who saw episode one hate him.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Man, you're full of it. We know it.
Well, he's a politician, so.
Yeah. It's his job to lie.
But I mean,
it's his job to BS.
As far as someone that has, like, the better lines and the best delivery consistently, I think his character.
Yeah.
Probably has the best.
This is one of the lines right out of the trailer.
Yep.
One of the lines that like got you excited about the idea of episode two.
Mm-hmm.
What you might see in episode two.
What you do see, you know, but
yeah.
By the time you do see it, you're
like, at the time you weren't quite sure what you were gonna see.
Mm-hmm.
So
exposition.
Yeah.
Exposition. Okay. All right.
Here is where something goes wrong.
To be fair,
we don't exactly know what went wrong.
We have heard speculation as
to what went wrong.
Film Score Monthly.
But you might want to delete that out. But when I heard this piece put to this particular scene, it didn't fit.
Mm-hmm.
The reason is, I remember this piece, that piece of music fondly, from episode one.
Yeah.
From the exact moment you hear it in episode one.
Yeah, the returning to Naboo. You know, the psych up for the end battle, I guess, if you will.
I mean,
Brian, you're a little bit more well versed than I am, but
I don't think it was at that moment. I mean,
I think it was when they're returning to Naboo to like fight back. That is exactly when that moment when that music comes in. No,
that music's later. This is from God. I know this is from.
This particular piece of music is from the beginning of episode one on the space station on the battle.
Yeah, right.
But when you first see the Naboo Star Cruiser flying in for like the final battle, that is exactly right out of episode one where you see the Naboo.
Well,
cruiser.
I know it's out of episode one. Part of the reason I'm so ticked off.
Go back and watch episode one. You'll see what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Hopefully somebody out there understands what I'm saying. Although that's
I know what you're saying. I just don't think you're right about it.
Well, okay.
But the geeks are arguing.
Yeah. Yeah. Now here's where we're really going to be geeking out.
We're going to be just, you know, just, I mean, if you're not like us, you're just just switch the channel. That's all I have to say.
Turn off the commentary.
Don't even bother.
Just ignore the last 45 minutes of this commentary.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, don't even bother. That's a sound effect right out of ET, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
actually, I love pointing that out.
Now, the conveyor belt, in some circles, got some loose. The conveyor belt scene, this little action sequence, granted, it doesn't really hold much of a purpose except to get these guys caught.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's a pretty badass scene, nonetheless. I think it's a pretty cool.
Well,
scene
the score for crying out loud,
the scoring is dreadful.
Is choppy. Is choppy. I
love the use of the love theme.
Uh-huh.
The love theme, I cannot stress enough, is one of the best pieces of music ever written for a Star Wars movie, hands down.
It's up there with
the Force theme.
Where is it being used?
I don't necessarily mind the use of the love theme in this sequence because we're seeing Padme.
Mm-hmm. And the fifths.
Now, Force theme.
Yeah,
okay.
But I'm down with that.
But later on, and I'm trying to remember. I think it's coming up.
It's just, you know, the theme.
But there's a moment where we hear Yoda's theme.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck does Yoda have anything to do with this scene?
Well, I mean, you know,
Yoda has nothing to do with this scene. There's no point for his theme to be in there. Anybody who knows remotely the Star Wars themes, the Star Wars music, should know that there's no reason for it in here. I mean, there's a pretty dang good... I'm sure there was a pretty dang good
cool
piece
R2
of
moment.
Adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean...
This is when R2 comes into his...
Yeah. Here we go. We're hearing Yoda's theme for no discernible reason.
Right? Exactly.
And is Anakin Skywalker kicking ass?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reason.
Yeah.
No reason whatsoever.
And then we hear the Coruscant chase theme. You know, and, you know, why? What's the point?
I don't mind recycling action cues.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't necessarily mind recycling action pieces of music. Just stuff like the Yoda theme just infuriates me because of the fact that there's no reason for it. Now, here is where sort of C-3PO sort of becomes the Jar Jar Binks.
I think it's kind of cool. I think it's amusing.
Funny.
I think it's amusing.
You know what amusing
it's
is.
Rather amusing.
I mean, it's funnier than Jar Jar Binks stumbling through the battle at the end of episode one. It's funny.
I think all of us can kind of agree on.
You know, it's funnier than it's more interesting than Jar Jar Binks. You know, at the end of episode one. You know, it's like
the use of the Force theme. Fine, I'm down with it.
Because he's using the Force.
We don't hear enough of Anakin's theme in episode two, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like the actual theme that was written for him in episode one, which was a very good theme.
Yeah.
So why Yoda's? Why use Yoda's?
I don't know.
I mean, you know, I really would love to know why it was scored this way.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases. I mean, there are some you know, I mean, recycling the Coruscant music, okay, you know.
That was what threw me off, to be honest. The recycling of the Coruscant Peril kind of music, threw me off. It wasn't as much Yoda's theme as it was the Coruscant chase theme that really threw me off. I can't stress enough how what that did for me, you know, when first experiencing this movie.
That didn't get on my nerves nearly as much as Yoda's.
Well, then we obviously
some other
obviously stuff,
but
you guys are deep, right?
Yeah,
now.
Deep. It's just, you know, God, I can't.
I just thought this was kind of late, and this is where I read. I guess I'll say now. I read this in Film Score Monthly that, you know, people that, you know, editors and other
people involved with the film.
People involved with the film had a lot to do with, you know, the chopping of the score at this point.
Yeah.
You know, and apparently John Williams wrote some really great music for the sequence, but it was never used.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the thing is, I read this in a very legitimate magazine.
Yeah.
People
within the industry would argue how legitimate it is. But we, as film score buffs, think it's quite legitimate.
And I believed it, and I don't think it's too far off from the truth, and
I don't think it's far off from the truth, because soon we're getting to a point.
Great Jango Bett moment.
Yeah.
Don't move, Jedi. That's just one of the great.
Because we're getting to another point in the movie where you get some. You get some of the score, which is on the soundtrack, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
This is on the soundtrack, and it's a brilliant piece of action score.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love it.
Oh yeah, it's my favorite track from the soundtrack.
Yeah,
this is where I start having a problem.
I mean, you know,
this is where I start having a problem.
They're about
but
to
you know
die
what? The love theme saves it.
Yeah,
it saves it, but it still doesn't glue it together.
No, it doesn't. No, it's a good point. I
mean, it saves it, but it doesn't glue it together.
It saves it, but it's very, very good.
How is she ready to like hook up right now? I mean, how is she ready to hook up when?
I mean, it's like, one of those things where it's like you're in a life and death situation.
Yeah,
you're probably going to die.
But I'm not
well
feeling
safe.
But I'm not feeling the immensity of the situation either.
No, I'm not.
So
we have chopping
you know
love story.
They're not going
feeling
to live, right? Because of the fact that, well, we've got another movie to make.
Yeah.
But
the matter
still,
is,
you know, I mean, it's
still not
it's rather
it.
Anticlimactic.
I should be feeling something. Yeah,
it is anticlimactic.
Yeah.
Anticlimactic is the best phrase for this.
Yeah, show. I mean, this moment maybe should have been sometime before.
Yeah,
and now they could be making out now,
but
because they're about to die.
But that's actually probably the better of all the screen kisses, I think.
Right.
I think that's an MTV nomination right there.
Well, I mean, they're going out the tunnel, kissing.
Yeah. This is actually a rather
neat. This kind of gave me a buzz when I heard.
Yeah,
it
does
because of the love theme, the way
and the sweet and the imagery.
Yep,
you
yep,
get
yep.
the. Scope.
I love the use of the love theme as like we're sweeping over like all these evil little maggot
mm-hmm.
creatures. I
right.
think that's just really cool.
Yeah. I mean
I'm sorry. I'm deep. I'm deep. But I'm feeling it nonetheless.
I see. Okay, we're getting wind of something cool musically that happened that could happen. You know, we're getting the idea. You know, we could hear something pretty cool here. It's going to be very rhythmic, very percussive.
This is a neat little Obi-Wan and Anakin
moment.
Right.
And we decide to come and rescue you.
Well done. Good job.
Good job. Great
good
delivery.
Job,
great delivery right there by
Ewan McGregor.
Yeah. I like the development of the language for the Geonosians.
Yeah.
That was neat. I was like, who came up with it? Well, obviously Ben Burtt came up with that, but I mean, how did he dream that up?
Yeah, though? I mean, where did he get that from?
Yeah, I know. Where the hell did he get that language from? I mean, that's just, I mean, that was worth my price of admission right there.
Now, see, there's a part of the soundtrack here where you should be hearing some rather cool-ass adventure stuff, like along the lines of the music you heard in the droid and Gungan battle in episode 1.
Mm-hmm.
That is not happening until later. Now, this guy is just cool as hell.
I like the crab guy. I like the crab guy.
I like all three of these.
Well,
I have a bad feeling about this.
How many times they? No, wait a minute.
That's the running gag. But yeah. I mean, it's only said once. It said like, I think like twice in episode one. I'm not altogether sure. But
yeah.
But this is
Yeah, this is some cool, like gladiator type stuff. I mean, you know,
gosh, Preacher's that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. I'm down with that. That actually wasn't
the fact that she's the one who's thinking on her feet, whereas the Jedi are just
exactly.
Like,
yeah, that's cool.
Kind of clueless as to how to get out of it. Of course, you know.
She seems to be on top of things, but I'm fine.
Sweet move, right there.
Yeah.
Obviously, computer generated, but
obviously,
but sweet move.
Yeah.
And the music.
This is really. Okay, hang on a sec. My favorite part.
Thank you.
All right, sorry.
Hey.
Why did you want her to get ripped up again?
Yeah.
I want. Oh gosh. Duh, the midriff. Hello.
Oh. Yeah, but she's bleeding.
Yeah. I mean, come on, man.
That's sexy.
Good lord.
She showed her midriff, man. I mean, I'm sorry.
I'm down with that,
But I mean, you could have checked that out earlier when she wasn't bleeding.
Yeah. Now, this is great.
This is not too much blood.
Taking it to this creature.
Yeah.
That's a cool move right
there. That's,
she can't do that.
Shooter! Or something! It's not too much blood.
No.
Yeah, sound design in this is pretty damn cool.
Look at that.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that guy. I mean, these creatures mean business.
Yeah,
you can tell that. You can feel the peril here.
I mean, this is like the rank. Okay, at least the Rancor times two.
Uh huh.
Because let's face it, Anakin's creature.
This is my favorite piece. This is my favorite piece of scoring, bar none. Right here. This is like when he.
And you know what? There could have been more. There could have been more.
But this is almost enough. Well, not. Well, no, it isn't.
Not enough.
But they didn't put enough of it in there.
There's some great music they cooked on.
Right here, this is when it just kicks into high gear.
Yeah. This is one of those cases where you really wish you hadn't heard the soundtrack.
Yeah, exactly.
Before the movie.
Mm-hmm. But we all did because
we all did because we couldn't resist.
Yeah.
I like this. I mean,
he just
okay. The kiss was not needed.
I like that.
The kiss was not needed.
I like that.
It's gonna throw back to the kiss that
in episode four.
Yeah, in episode four. Yeah.
Yeah, the kind of like, you know, good luck kind of.
Yeah.
You know, let's kick some ass.
The fact of the matter is, though, it's like
I liked it.
Unnecessary.
I liked it. I didn't think it was unnecessary at all. I thought it was actually quite romantic.
I mean, if it was supposed to flow off the previous romance that we were supposed to have, then it sucked.
Yeah.
But if it's supposed to be a throwback to episode four, okay.
Yeah.
And this is actually, I feel the, I'm feeling some peril here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm actually.
You really do wonder how the hell they're going to get out.
You do. You
because
do.
It's like, what the heck?
Yeah, I know. And Christopher Lee's just like, oh, hum. Okay.
You get the bat. It's like, which lightsaber is it? What's his bat? And actually, I think they had that on his lightsaber,
The only. Do they really?
I thought they did.
Where did you hear that?
Somewhere.
I
heard from Sam Jackson.
That's the
like,
only purple.
They put it on there sort of as a joke.
I cannot believe
they said
that is hysterical. That is great if they did that.
I like some of these Jedi you see. Some of the Jedi you see. I mean, this party's over. Oh, he already said that. Here you get a little bit of Pulp Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and I will strike down the some
that
cool Jango Fett stuff.
Sweet move right there.
Oh.
Some great Jango Fett stuff and some great Mace Windu stuff.
Yeah.
And I love hearing the commentary how they describe this on the script the script says basically all hell breaks loose.
Right. I don't doubt it.
And that's and it's executed rather good.
Yep.
And it's like, you know,
and
that's
all hell breaks loose.
And hell does break loose. And my single, Unleash Hell. I like that. I thought that was kind
I thought that was like a funny moment
for the kids, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not as stupid as it could be.
No,
yeah.
It's not. It's not no, nearly it's as not. Stupid as it could have been. Thank
I mean,
you.
Vanderbilt, maybe, but the rest of it, no. The stuff, the way they use it in the battles, rather clever.
Yeah, it's not.
It's clever and stupid.
It's George Lucas clever.
It's like. It's like in Spinal Tap. It's clever and stupid.
Uh huh.
Yeah, my boy.
It's not. It's
yeah.
It's not inspired, but it's clever.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Did I actually just make a good point? Wow. Who knew?
It's not the first time, but first time on this commentary, I think.
I'm programmed for etiquette, not destruction. That's a great C-3PO line.
Yeah.
That's a sweet move right there. Oh, yeah.
Mm. Man. Oh.
Mm, yeah, that's sweet.
He actually nails that guy.
That's the only purple lightsaber.
Yep.
Also, he made a special request to Lucas to have a purple lightsaber. And I thought that was kind of neat.
It looks freaking cool.
Yeah. This is kind of brutal right here.
Yeah.
That's...
Mm. My boy took a hit.
And you know what? Oh, like Boba Fett was inspired by the gunslingers.
Sure he was.
Because like when you hear him walking around in Empire Episode 5, you hear his spurs clanging.
Yeah. Oh,
I don't know if you've
ever
heard. If you do listen to him when he's walking around in Episode,
it's like
although he's not wearing spurs,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was interesting. But I mean that was like.
Well, I mean, yeah, westerns were obviously a big inspiration for Lucas as well.
Well, Django in particular, or Boba Fett in particular.
Yeah, and at least in terms of a lot of stuff, and like Han Solo
but
and
like,
stuff like that.
Yeah, but like, you know, when he's... Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And this is just... Oh, man.
And I will strike down upon thee with great...
But I love the shot you see of Count Dooku and then Boba Fett. Mm-hmm. And it's like...
Yeah, he means business.
Yeah. Did I say that?
I programmed for etiquette, not destruction.
Jedi kicking butt here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What we've been wanting to see for like how many years now?
Yeah.
And we're getting to see it. We're seeing what
we are getting to see it.
we're getting to see what we want to see. You know, and it's,
yeah,
it's one of those rare moments where you know we're seeing what we've always wanted to see. And, you know, you don't have that in too many. You don't have that in too many movies with the intentions that these movies have. You know, you don't have too many moments that are specifically for the audience.
I like how you see it, Beth.
This is like stuff that we want to see, and we're being. But yeah, this is.
I like the use.
Look at the look in his face. He's like, come here, you.
Yeah.
He's like. All right,
okay,
I've had it.
Mine now.
I've had it. Your ass is mine.
Take that, biatch.
And this is R2.
Sorry, not exactly the most family-friendly commentary, but, you know, whatever.
Oh, this is such a drag.
Yeah.
I mean
it's one of those movements. Like I said, clever and stupid.
Right.
I mean,
clever but not inspired.
Clever
I'm
and
quite,
stupid, exactly.
I'm quite beside myself. Just, you know. Yeah. I mean, how much fun did the animators have with this? I mean,
oh, I'm sure they went to town.
They did go to town.
They did go to town.
Yeah, but, like, yeah, listen to music, though.
I mean,
this is the scene right here
from episode one. That music is completely from episode.
Oh gosh! Don't get me started.
I mean,
I know.
Just completely.
It's so disappointing. Oh my lord!
Yeah, that doesn't look great.
Yeah.
Sweet lord.
Yeah. Sweet Jesus! I mean, good night. And this is another moment where you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. I mean, good. This is actually very underrated.
You feel the peril here.
I mean, this is really an underrated movie.
You do not see what's coming.
Yeah.
And it's great that way. It works.
Yeah.
Yoda to the rescue.
Episode one music.
Oh yeah, I know.
It's good episode one music, but it's still episode one music.
I know. Yeah. I love hearing Yoda shout out battle orders.
Yeah.
In Yoda speak. Right. Around the survivors, a perimeter create.
Man, they're just cutting them in pieces too.
Yeah,
that's good stuff.
What a badass. Yeah. This is
great music.
Oh yeah.
Except
I've heard this before.
Movie.
Where have I heard this before, Brian?
Something different. Episode one.
Where have I heard
this? Grace.
Wow, I mean, we're looking at some great action sequences right here. I mean, this is good stuff.
This is some good shit.
I mean, this is truly epic.
This is.
I mean, and then you see the overhead, and you see what has come, and it's like, right. Oh my God, we are in for.
Yeah.
I mean,
I like how it gets quiet. It gets quiet. I like how it gets quiet.
I mean, this has gotten so much bigger than just Obi-Wan and Padme and Anakin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, this is war.
Yeah.
This is a battle.
Mm-hmm. This is hell breaking loose.
We've seen hints of this, you know, in the other movies,
mm-hmm.
but we have not seen this.
No, we have not.
I mean, we really have not seen
this. Arguably the biggest battle, Star Wars battle ever.
Oh, yeah.
And probably.
Well, I mean, it's got to be. I mean, it's the Clone Wars. This is something we've been waiting to see for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard about it. I mean, oh.
Yeah. Good call, my young Padawan.
Yeah. I thought about this when I first saw this, and I still feel this way. It's like, I wonder, you know, I mean, George Lucas was from that generation, you know, grew up watching Vietnam on
TV
and so
right.
I wonder how much of that influenced this.
Undoubtedly.
I'm sure a lot of it did.
Okay, I want one of those maps.
I know.
I mean, really badly. I've seen maps and video games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I've never actually seen anything look that good. I mean,
yeah.
That's actually a really sweet idea.
Yeah.
That's actually
pretty like how you sort of see you're not quite sure what it is, but you can sort of see the Death Star in the background, the hologram of the Death Star.
That will strike down upon you a great deal of trust.
Okay, we get the idea. And pick another quote. I mean, good Lord.
It's called a running gag, Brian.
It ran out like two times.
I mean,
it's
Mace
not running.
Went...
It's now in a crawl. It's not even at a crawl. I mean, it's just a complete standstill.
Yeah,
I mean,
here's
this is one.
Episode one.
More episode one music.
Yeah.
And then somewhere along the lines, you hear the Star Wars theme, which I guess makes some sort of sense, but not really.
No, it doesn't. I mean, when did John Williams take a back seat to how epic this moment is?
Right.
I don't know, you know, and it baffles me because of the fact that he's one of the big reasons this series has endured.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, beyond the special effects, beyond, you know,
the story,
performances, I mean, along with the visual inventiveness
mm-hmm.
and the story,
mm-hmm. I mean, the
I mean, John Williams' score is the thing.
I mean, he's carrying
this
movie in so many different places.
He is!
I mean, he really does.
Well put, thank you. That's
the coolest.
I want to get that vehicle.
Yeah.
I mean, when
it's
is that
exactly that?
When is Hasbro going to make this? I'm just curious.
I don't know. But
I mean, you know, where are these?
Admittedly,
you
know,
you're just paying people just to sit around and think of these ideas.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
There's some great shots. I mean, God, there's some great cinematography in this movie.
Still, that's just sweet.
I just want to sit down and have a conversation with Christopher Lee.
I think a lot of people would. I mean, of course, I'd want to bone up on my hammer.
And this is Christopher Lee acting to nothing.
Nothing.
Which
I mean,
is just, which when you think about
that
it, that's uncanny.
That takes a lot of guts to do.
I mean,
you really have
I mean,
to
forget about Liam Neeson acting to nothing. This
thing,
is Christopher Lee.
The thing is, I mean, you really have to believe in the material.
Mm-hmm.
To be convinced that is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
been a little bit of Death Star foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll go ahead and build that for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, can I have one of these next Saturday? Thanks. That'd be great.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That's Office Space, by the
way. What's happening? Da-da-da-da-da. What the hell are you doing with the score? I mean,
I don't know. Well, there's not much more to go as for really bad scoring ideas. It's bad musical ideas.
This is interesting. But this is episode 2 right here. This piece of scoring.
This is completely episode 2.
Which it works.
Which is a very good scene. Now, apparently, somewhere around here, I remember reading in an interview with, I think it was Williams or somebody, about how he used sort of like a little quotation of the Wicked Witch of the West from Wizard of Oz. All that stuff.
Again, Yoda
I don't really
giving,
care,
giving
yeah.
battle orders in Yoda speak, which is just, you've been waiting to see this.
We've necessarily been waiting to see the general.
Well, the thing is, I mean,
I never was anticipating it.
I was never anticipating it, intentionally. Yeah. But I just knew that this was going to be something special.
Yeah.
When it. Editing's not terrible.
No, editing's great. Editing's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's a cool little firefight scene right there.
Yeah.
Kind of getting you like right in the mix of the firefight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
yeah, we've been
probably a little homage to Saving Private Ryan too, by Spielberg's film.
Don't you have lasers on the side?
Then follow him.
Yeah, right.
You just keep believing that, buddy.
Would you please shoot them down? Thank you.
Yeah. Get those guys off my tail.
Yes.
Appreciate that.
Get those guys off my tail. Thank you.
You could just do that.
That'd be great. Thanks.
I never thought you'd hear Office Space comments towards a Star Wars movie, did you?
I like the use of the love theme there when she falls out.
And I like the logic that he uses to sort of talk Anakin down after that, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what would Padme do?
This is realistic.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm believing it. Use the Force theme very...
Here's where the music really starts to kick in is... being very good stuff again.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean...
But yeah, I mean, I love... You're deep.
How you get the... Oh, yeah. We know what we're seeing next.
Yeah.
Because he already
We've been reading about it on the internet for like 3 years.
Yeah.
Well, gosh. Well, maybe you have. I have no life.
The rest of us have lives. I'm sorry. The rest of us, maybe it was 6 months. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, some of us use the internet for other reasons.
What was this?
No.
Yeah, I don't want to know what you're using it for, right? You know what I'm saying? What you?
I didn't exactly
You're
going to
pay for all the Jedi
way.
You killed today, Dooku.
I didn't exactly mean it that way, but anyway.
So we have the hothead.
Yeah.
Anakin, of course, getting his butt kicked. And now,
very quickly,
the man.
That wood block is cool. Back down.
And this is the first time we see somebody besides the Emperor having the lightning type powers, which is cool.
Mm. But you know what? This is the first. I mean, the lightsaber duel at the end of episode 1 was,
pretty freaking spectacular.
Well, the thing is, this is more or less in the spirit of the original trilogy, though.
Right.
The dialogue in between the.
Yeah.
Campy dialogue, if you will, but it works, and it's much more in the spirit of the original trilogy.
Yeah.
I mean, like with episode 1, it was just like
that looked like it hurt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Get some sun on that tummy. You're opting not to talk in any Natalie Portman scenes now. We're just enjoying the... Anyway. Yeah, I need to shut up.
Yeah.
That's some badass. Yeah, look at how evil he looks there. Anakin and I can handle this.
That's a pretty impressive leap. I mean,
brave of you, boy. I am a slow learner.
I like this.
This is sweet.
There wasn't enough two lightsaber fighting as far as I know.
No, there wasn't. And I think there was more film. But there was not. And this is really, this is a really great style choice right here.
Yeah.
Right here. This is
really
stylistically speaking. This is cool.
Use of the lighting.
And this is more or less a reference to
Episode 5.
Episode 5.
Empire Strikes Back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is just, you know. I'm feeling it.
Oh, yeah, it's good stuff.
Where are my milk duds?
Oh.
Yeah, they got it.
Never mind, I just lost my appetite.
They got it. Ow, whoa, moment.
Yeah.
That's kind of like, wow, can they do that?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying.
And then you see, and people love this.
I know. Yeah.
People absolutely
I remember
love
hearing
this.
Cheering right here. It's
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, I mean, just seeing the shadow,
uh-huh.
I think,
the ears and the little head. And you hear the cane clicking and
yeah.
Just like, you know, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
You know, I thought this was a little cheesy, though.
It,
we're
getting to mediocre territory here. It's,
yeah, they didn't make. I mean, Yoda's always so professional, you know, so cool,
and it's not as special.
Move right there was a little,
and this
yeah.
is not as special as it could have been.
Right, exactly.
I mean, this is supposed to be a special moment.
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
A big, just a moment you were supposed to just love. And
I mean, they just had some cheesy stuff. I mean,
yeah, I mean, just and the thing is, you know, on the extras you're watching, you get to see George Lucas say, well, "That looks good, but you know, faster, more intense."
Right.
And you're like, "No, slow it down." You really are, if you're like me, but and you talk to the television when no one else is there. But.
Great show.
You really get a
right
sense
there.
Of how powerful Yoda is.
Mm-hmm. Much to learn, you student.
That's probably my second favorite line.
Combine the skills with a lightsaber.
That's a bit of exposition for a lightsaber
yeah.
fight. I didn't quite feel that.
Maybe it didn't necessarily need it. It's like, just get to it, man.
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, I don't
yeah.
know if the Eastwood move was good.
I either. Thought that was cool.
I don't know. A couple people didn't like that I thought.
I did. I liked
but
that.
But I think this, of course, is obviously sweet.
This,
yeah. Yoda demand.
Who demand?
Yoda
demand. Yes,
that's from the marketing campaign
yes,
DVD. For those
yes.
of you who don't know, of course, if you don't know that, you're not watching the Star Wars movies anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're not quite as geeky as.
Yeah. No. You haven't quite achieved the level of geekiness that we have so proudly accomplished.
Displayed here.
Accomplished. Yes. This is just the beginning. Great line. Mm-hmm. Great delivery.
So here.
The music could have been better here.
I like the music here because it makes sense. You have Yoda doing some good stuff.
Using the Force.
Some Yoda theme.
Yoda using the Force. So it's the mix of the
stuff.
Force.
I mean, you got some Yoda theme action going down.
Was that theme right there from the second one? I mean, well, I guess Episode 5.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, that's the first time we heard
right,
it.
Right.
I mean, just that particular.
Right.
Use of it, I mean, is...
That one's got a body.
Yeah. I was just thinking the same thing.
I think every guy that's watching this right now is thinking that very thing.
If not, why are you not thinking that? Now, this
you
is
might
a
have
cool
some
little
issues.
Ship.
Yeah,
this is a cool little
there.
Ship.
That's
great.
I honestly
yeah.
thought that was like kind of a sail
sort of
at first.
Like a pirate ship.
But it's not. It's kind of like it's something that collects solar energy.
Right.
According,
I mean, you know, which is actually an idea that they're thinking about using
yeah.
currently now.
Mm.
Hmm.
Cool. But according to the commentary, that's supposed to be a ship that's powered by solar energy, and that little
okay.
sail is meant. I thought it was like a kind of like a wind sail, but again, there's
yeah.
no There is, in fact,
yeah,
no
sort
one.
Of looks like sort of like a pirate ship or or the Star Wars equivalent of a pirate ship.
And we should point out that how much the clones look like stormtroopers. And that was like a great little subtle hint.
Well, I
some
mean,
neat foreshadowing.
You kind of get the idea.
Oh yeah, if you're not paying attention if you don't notice that. But
yeah.
Coruscant looks
Yeah, they really did a great job designing the look of this, and the fact that you get into the city and then you see sort of on the outskirts of the city, sort of more an industrial area.
Yeah, and the use of the Emperor's theme right here is great.
Yeah. So it's basically, I mean, when during the Clone Wars stuff, I mean, from that, during the Clone Wars stuff, from the point we mentioned, I mean, yeah, score's just not that great, but after a certain point, yeah, it gets really good. Darth Sidious.
So
I'm really looking forward to seeing how they play off the duality of the Emperor and Palpatine, and you know, sort of Sifo Dyas. If we learn more about Sifo Dyas, which we assume is Count Dooku, but you know, we don't see him, so we don't know.
Dooku. Now, you know, I'm going to go into this a little bit, is that on the extras, you know, we see how much George Lucas cares about this story and the movie and how good he wants it to be, because, you know, this particular last shot of Yoda, you know, he just watches, you just watch Lucas just, I mean, and the love he puts into this particular shot of Yoda is just it's just uncanny, and you know, so you know that he is not, you know,
hasn't completely sold his soul to technology.
No, he is well, he hasn't completely sold his soul to anyone yet. He is not.
Yeah,
but
you can still tell that there is a love of the material.
There's an affection for the story
and here
by the filming, and but you know, it just. I don't know what happened. I don't.
Here's the second best use of the dark,
the Imperial March.
Well, you get the Imperial March with a hint of, I believe, Duel of the Fates. You get a little bit of a variation on some of the.
I don't hear it, but I mean, I mean, you have a much better ear than I do. So.
Plus, I've probably listened to this score heck of a lot longer, much more than you have. But
ship design's really brilliant.
Well, no, I think that's a reference to.
It's just the fact that they can make that reference yet still make it unique. You know,
absolutely.
Fantastic.
And this is a great reference to the end of Empire. I think, you know, just 3PO and R2, and then.
Yeah, and then you have the wedding. You don't see the wedding, thank God.
Yeah, oh gosh.
Otherwise, that would be cheesy to the extreme.
So
you get the. You sort of get the idea of
the metal arm there.
Yeah.
She's still looking up.
I've seen pictures of people that have done Star Wars themed weddings since this release of Episode 2, and they do the costumes just like this, and it's really
Goodness,
hey,
anyway.
I mean, is she as hot as Natalie Portman over there? She can't be, because she's dressed up.
My wife will be, but. Take it home, John.
Yeah. I mean,
he's taking it home. It's a bittersweet ending, and it works on that level.
Yeah.
Why, George? Why?
Well, I mean, we don't know why.
Because it's his baby. And you know what? This movie is. You know, has moments of such utter brilliance, followed by moments of such moments of such non-utter brilliance, utter non-brilliance. That I mean, and You know, yes. I'm going back to, like, you know, like, the extras and showing just what George's intentions were.
Yeah. I mean,
and they're astounding. And, you know, I mean, the thing is, the extras are just as fascinating as the movie, if not more.
Right.
Because, you know, you're seeing the artist. You're seeing the artistry, and it's absolutely inspiring. But, you know,
I mean, I think bottom line is, it's like, you know, I think part of it is, it was established in episode one that he was going to aim more towards children, as far as the tone of the prequel trilogy. It wasn't necessary, you know, I think if he were aiming at the actual original Star Wars audience, like we are, I think we'd be seeing a lot different movies.
Right.
But bottom line is, you still have to make them accessible to families. Because, I mean, let's face it, families were a big part of the reason these movies are as successful as they are.
And I'm really compelled to know.
It's going to be really interesting to see what we get in episode 3.
I mean, because, you know,
because
episode 3 has to be.
It's supposed to be the darkest of them all. And, I mean, I can't imagine what that's going to bring.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've actually, you know, I'm not ashamed to say I've given all five of the Star Wars movies A pluses, 4 stars, however you want to look at. You know,
tell them how they can get your reviews though, right?
You can find a lot of my comments on Joe Blow's Movie Emporium, www.joeblow.com. Email me at the website, which we're working on right now, should be up by the time this is released. Actually, it will be up by the time this is released.
I'd like to congratulate you, Brian, on getting a management position at the local theater that you've been working at for like a year and a half. You know, you deserve it.
Thank you very much. And anyway, yeah, I've given all of these A pluses. What I said when I first reviewed episode 2 is I just can't look at Star Wars objectively. It's been such a huge part of my movie going life. Since I was young, I mean, some of my first experiences I remember going to the movies are Star Wars movies, you know, and I collected the toys, I collected all that stuff, you know, there's such an affection for these movies, I just can't look at them objectively, I can't look at, you know, I mean, we're listing flaws and stuff like that, and bottom line is, I mean, I don't care, I just love the story, so I just love the story it has to tell. I think it's going to be really interesting. One of the things I think is going to be really interesting and this is a part that I absolutely love in the score, you know, because you hear it at the Love theme track for Attack of the Clones soundtrack, and
there is a theme. It's kind of like a sweet. It's not necessarily part of the movie, but it's a sweet more or less, and it's
got this moment. It's just absolutely wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, these movies are just so personal to me. I mean, they're in my top 5 for all time. I mean, not just one particular movie, just all of them, because they are part of a continued saga. Really shouldn't, you know, but I can't wait to see episode 3.
Neither can we.
I mean,
when is episode 3 supposed to come
2005.
Out?
2005.
Same year, hopefully we get an Indiana Jones 4.
Yeah.
That would be like,
we're going to be old.
Yeah, I know. That's.
But
anyway, we haven't discussed it yet. We haven't talked about the box office performance of this, which I'm shocked about. But bottom line is, this was the first Star Wars movie that was not number one at the box office in its respective year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Every other Star Wars movie number one of the year. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This movie was overshadowed by Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And
Which, actually,
Two Towers as well surpassed this in box office. Right. This grossed nearly $300 million. And the fact of the matter is, if you think about how the original trilogy did, each one did progressively worse.
Mm-hmm.
Or, well, I think, so Return of the Jedi may have outgrossed Empire, but So just to mention that, I mean, this still did very well. I mean, $300 million is nothing to be disappointed about in any respect, and most of it goes to George Lucas's pocket anyway. But
bastard.
And I mean, I don't know, but yeah, That's basically all I had to say about that. You know, obviously, I love movies. I mean, I love this movie. I think it was... I really think the prequel trilogy has been underrated. I really enjoy what... I like that it's different from the original trilogy. It's very cool. So, anyway, this is Brian Skull. Closing thoughts, guys?
I agree with you wholeheartedly there, Brian.
I mean, I'm down with you, Brian. I mean, you know, I just want to see what happens to the third one in order to complete.
So we finally shut up. You know, I mean, we need to get on with our lives. But this is Ronnie Haynes.
Dave Miles.
This is Brian Skull again.